Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. The resurrection, of course, we're going to talk about the resurrection today. Because the resurrection of Jesus Christ, it's at the heart of and it's the foundation of the Christian faith.
Amen.
The resurrection of Jesus is what sets Christianity apart from every other religion. Muhammad is in the tomb.
That's right.
Yeah.
Buddha is in the tomb.
Yes.
Confucius is in the tomb.
Yes.
Any other founder of any other religion that you want to mention is in the tomb.
Yeah.
Amen.
Jesus is alive.
Hallelujah.
Jesus is alive.
Yes.
And if he's not alive, then we have nothing. All this is in vain if he's not alive. But there's too much proof. In historical facts and in changed lives.
Amen.
To tell
Amen.
Me that Jesus is alive. So today we're talking about the resurrection, past, present, and future.
Amen.
So when we talk about the resurrection past, we're talking about 2,000 years ago, or almost 2,000 years ago, when Jesus rose from the dead. And again, that's the foundation of our faith. So let's look at the scripture. Look with me, 1 Corinthians 15, verse 1. It'll be on the screen. It says, "Moreover, brethren, I declare to you the gospel which I preached to you, which also you received, and in which you stand, by which also you were saved, if you hold fast that word which I preached to you, unless you believed in vain." Verse 3, "For I delivered to you first of all that which I also received, that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures." Verse 4, "And that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the Scriptures." This is the gospel. This is our message. Everything that we teach, everything that we preach, everything that we believe, this is the core, this is the heart of it. Christ died for our sins. According to the Scriptures, he was buried and he rose again the third day according to the Scriptures. This is not merely a philosophical theory or a philosophical concept. This is, the resurrection of Jesus is a historical fact.
Amen.
I would encourage you to see the movie, The Case for Christ, or read the book. If you haven't seen that, really read the book. It's great, by Lee Strobel. Lee Strobel was an investigative reporter with the Chicago Tribune. He was well-educated. He'd received a law degree from Yale Law School and was working with the prominent newspaper in Chicago, the Chicago Tribune. And I think this happened around 1980. And his wife started going to church, and she got saved. And he was not a Christian at all. He didn't believe in God at all. And he set out to, he said, "Well, I'm gonna get her out of this. And the way I'm gonna do it is," he says, "I'm gonna investigate. I'm gonna read the New Testament. I'm gonna investigate the claims of Christianity, this resurrection business, and I'm gonna debunk it. I'm gonna give her the evidence, and I'm gonna debunk it, and that'll get Leslie out of this." His wife's name was Leslie. Well, you know what happened. As he began to do his research, And he not only read the Scriptures, but he flew all over the country, traveled all over the country, and interviewed these experts in these various fields. And not only within the Christian faith, but medical doctors. He said, "Okay, what about the crucifixion? Could a person, maybe Jesus survived the crucifixion, and maybe he really didn't die, and his disciples saw him after the crucifixion, after they'd taken him down. You know, what Jesus endured is described, you know, in the Scripture, no human being could endure. Medical science, medical doctors confirm that." After all of his research, he ends up getting saved, of course.
Hallelujah.
And becoming a follower of Jesus himself.
Amen.
And he says he based it on not merely, you know, someone else's opinion or idea, but on historical fact. And he did his research. You know, he was like I said, his job was investigative reporter for the Chicago Tribune. So he knew how to research and how to gather facts, and he came to the conclusion, yes, Jesus is the Son of God. He was resurrected from the dead. Hallelujah. Well, I didn't have to have Lee Strobel tell me that, but it's good that someone of that caliber and that field came to that conclusion. But the scripture that we read here, Paul gives evidence to the resurrection. In verse 5, as we read on in 1 Corinthians 15 here, he says, and he says, Christ was buried, he rose again the third day according to the scriptures, and we'll go back to verse 5, and that he was seen by Cephas, that's Peter, then by the 12. After that, he was seen by over 500 brethren at once. You know, after the resurrection, Jesus appeared. Peter saw him. Then Peter and John saw him. Paul doesn't mention John there, but Peter saw him. Then the 12 saw him. Of course, we know the women saw him. You know, the women were the first ones to come to the tomb and to see the resurrected Savior. And then, verse 6 says, after that, he was seen by over 500 brethren at once. So he appeared to a group of 500 of those who had followed him and believed in him before his crucifixion. A group of 500 at one time saw him. So this is not some story that a few people made up. 500 people saw him alive after his death. He says, of whom the greater part remain to the present, but some have fallen asleep, some had passed away. Verse 7, after that he was seen by James, then by, that's his brother, his half-brother, obviously, then by all the apostles, then last of all he was seen by me also as one born out of due time. So remember who's writing this. This is the Apostle Paul writing this, and he was formerly known, you know, as Saul of Tarsus, right? He was a Pharisee. He was persecuting the followers of Jesus, and he was on his way from Jerusalem to Damascus and to put in prison the followers of Jesus when, you know what happened? He encountered the risen Jesus. He was on his horse, and he was knocked off his horse, and he saw a light shining, he said, brighter than the noonday sun. And he heard a voice speaking, Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? And he said, who are you, Lord? He said, I'm Jesus. I'm Jesus. So Saul, that day, who later became Paul, encountered the resurrected Jesus. Amen. And his life changed that day. And later, Paul gave witness about this in writing his letter to the Romans. In Romans chapter 1, verse 3 and 4, this is out of the Amplified Bible. He says, the gospel regarding his son, who as to the flesh, his human nature, was descended from David. Verse 4 says, and as to his divine nature, according to the Spirit of holiness, was openly designated the Son of God in power, in a striking, triumphant, and miraculous manner by his resurrection from the dead, even Jesus Christ our Lord, the Messiah, the Anointed One. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So Paul was giving witness again that yes, Jesus was risen, was resurrected from the dead, in a striking, triumphant, miraculous manner. Amen. 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 The Apostle John, of course, was a follower of Jesus throughout his ministry. John was one of the 12 disciples of Jesus. And John saw him right after on the day of the resurrection. He saw him that evening. And then later, John writes this about the resurrected Jesus in Revelation chapter 1, because he has another encounter with him. In Revelation 1, verse 17, he says, and when I saw him, I fell at his feet as dead. But he laid his right hand on me, saying to me, do not be afraid. I am the first and the last. I am he who lives and was dead. And behold, I am alive forevermore. Amen. That's what he heard Jesus say. He said, I was dead. He said, but I am alive forevermore. And I have the keys of Hades and of death. Hallelujah. Without the resurrection, there is no real Christianity. It's just another religion with a code of morality, with philosophical teachings that might help a person live a better life. But without the resurrection, the power to change our lives, the power to save us, the power to deliver us, the power to heal us is absent. And we're still in bondage to Satan if there is no resurrection. And Paul writes about that in 1 Corinthians 15, 17. He says this, and if Christ is not risen, your faith is futile. You are still in your sins. If Christ is not risen, your faith is futile. You are still in your sins. But then the next verse he says, but now Christ is risen.
Hallelujah.
but now Christ is risen. Hallelujah. You know what that means then? Since Christ is risen, he said, if he's not, then your faith is futile. Well, he is risen, so my faith is not futile. Your faith is not futile. Your faith in God is not futile. Your faith in God is powerful. Your faith in God is a divine connection that draws the power of God and the grace of God and the blessings of God and the provision of God into your life, because there's something on the other end. If you plug... See, faith is like a power plug that plugs into the power source of God and empowers us. But if you plug into a socket, if there was no wiring to this socket over here, you could plug it in, but if there's no power there, you're not going to get anything.
That's right.
The power is in the resurrection. Jesus is risen. Our faith is not futile. Our faith is powerful. Hallelujah. He says, if Christ is not risen, you're still in your sins. Well, he is risen, so I'm not still in my sin. I'm delivered from my sin. Sin has no power over me. The guilt of sin is washed away because he is risen. Hallelujah. And we're free. Because of the resurrection, we're free from the bondage of Satan. Amen? Hallelujah. The resurrection is also a present reality. It's not only, it is a past historical event, and that's of huge significance and importance, but it's a present reality, as I've just been mentioning. Because he is risen, our faith is not futile. Because he is risen, we're not in our sins anymore. Because he is risen, we have power over the enemy. It's a present reality, and that reality is this as well. We are raised with him. We are raised with him. Hallelujah. It's a present reality that can greatly change my life if I will believe it. Because it's faith that activates it in my life. It's faith that activates it in your life. In Colossians 2, verse 12, Paul writes this. He says, buried with him. Uh-oh, we did 21 and not 12. My bad. We needed verse 12. We can pull 12 up real quick. 2:12. Buried with him, it says, in baptism, in which you also were raised with him through faith in the working of God who raised him from the dead. You see that? Amen. He says, in which you were also raised with him. Everybody say, raised with him.
Raised with him.
Say it this way. Say, I was raised with him.
I was raised with him.
We're not just celebrating Jesus' resurrection. We're celebrating your resurrection today.
Amen.
You were raised with him.
Yes.
I was raised with him. In which you also, now baptism is a demonstration of that. When a person is baptized or put into the water, that represents that we're dead and buried with Christ. Come out of the water, that represents and signifies and demonstrates that we're raised with him.
Amen.
That's an outward action that demonstrates a spiritual reality. Amen. Raised with him through, how are we raised with him? Through faith in the working of God. So it's our faith that activates it. It's your faith that makes it real in your life.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Raised with him through faith in the working of God who raised him from the dead. So your faith in the resurrection causes that to become a reality in your life, that you're raised with him.
Yes.
Say it one more time. Say, I am raised with him. Hallelujah. Amen. Glory to God. Ephesians 2, verse 4. Let's look at this. Ephesians 2, verse 4, he says, but God is so rich in mercy, isn't he?
Yes, he is.
And he loved us so much.
Yeah.
Verse 5, that even though we were dead because of our sins, he gave us life when he raised Christ from the dead.
Amen.
It is only by God's grace that you have been saved. He gave us life when he raised Christ from the dead. When he not only brought life back into Jesus' lifeless body that had been crucified and brutalized, but when he raised Jesus from the dead, Paul says he gave us life.
That's right.
Say, wait a minute, Pastor, I wasn't born yet. Yeah, but God had a way of working that to where when he did it for Jesus, anyone throughout history after that that would believe on Jesus and call on Jesus and confess. The Bible says if we confess with our mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in our heart, what? That God has raised him from the dead. And when you believe that, that life that he gave Jesus that day is transmitted into you. Hallelujah. He gave us life when he raised Christ from the dead. It is only by grace, God's grace, that you've been saved. For he raised us from the dead along with Christ. He raised us from the dead along with Christ and seated us with him in the heavenly realms because we are united with Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. Think about that. So the resurrection is not just a historical fact. It's a present reality if you'll believe it. Because he raised us up with Christ. He gave us life when he raised Jesus from the dead. And he raised us with him. And not only that, but he seated us with him in the heavenly realms. That's your position spiritually now. Don't pray from way down here and, oh, God, if somehow, if you could send a blessing down. No, you're seated with Christ. Amen. When we pray, it's like this. Father, it's not, oh, God. It's like this. Father, amen. Amen. Don't let the devil kick you around. He's down there. He's under your feet now. You're raised up and you're seated with Christ. Exercise your authority. Devil, get out of my way in the name of Jesus. Amen. Hallelujah. Paul prayed. He knew that was a huge concept to grasp for these Ephesians and for us. And so he prayed for them in Ephesians 1:18. He's praying and he says this. He says that the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling, what are the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints. Now look at verse 19. And, he's praying, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power toward us who believe. That power, the exceeding greatness of that power is toward us who believe. What kind of power is it, Paul? It's according to the working of his mighty power, next verse, which he worked in Christ when he raised him from the dead. That same power, resurrection power, is toward us who believe. It's flowing to us who believe. Hallelujah. The same power that raised Jesus from the dead. I have a question for you this morning. Knowing that you have that power available to you, how does it change your circumstances? How does it change your life? Knowing that you have this power available to you, how does it change your circumstances? How does it change the challenges that you're facing in your life today? It should. It's available. It's not just a historical fact, and it's not just, okay, we'll go to heaven one day, but this resurrection power should cause us to overcome. Thanks be to God, the scripture says, who always causes us to triumph in Christ. Thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. It's talking about in our life now. Amen. The resurrection is a present day reality that should affect the way that we face life. It should affect the way that we deal with circumstances in life. It should affect the way that we face challenges. Yeah, we're going to have challenges. Yeah, we're going to have difficulties. Yeah, we're going to have opposition. Jesus promised that. He said, in the world, you'll have tribulation, but be of good cheer, he said. I've overcome the world.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Yes. Hallelujah. Amen. Praise God. So how do we tap into that power? It's toward us who believe. The exceeding greatness of his power toward us who believe. Like we said earlier, it's faith that plugs in to that power. When you believe the Word of God, when you believe the promises of God, when you believe what the Bible says about you, what Jesus has done for you, who God has made you to be, when you start believing that, that's what causes that power, that resurrection power, to flow in your life. Amen?
Amen.
Hallelujah. Let's look at this scripture, Colossians 3. Colossians 3 and verse 1. He says, since you have been raised to new life with Christ. Amen. So that's a reality. He says, since you have been. Since you have, that's past tense. Since you have been raised to new life with Christ, set your sights on the realities of heaven, where Christ sits in the place of honor at God's right hand. This will help. That doing this right here, doing what He instructs us to do right here, will help this. Will help this be real in your life. Amen. Since we've been raised to new life with Christ, then we should set our sights on the realities of heaven. He says, he says, where Christ sits in the place of honor at God's right hand. Verse 2, think about the things of heaven, not the things of earth. Now, you know, don't misunderstand that. When he says, think about the things of heaven, he's not talking about, you know, fat little babies with wings, you know, strumming these harps or blowing these trumpets, you know, these crazy concepts that people have of what heaven's like, clouds and, you know, things like that, and rainbows, you know. That's not what he means when he says, think about the things of heaven. He's talking about thinking about the things of the authority that we have. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Hallelujah. He's talking about the power of God. He's talking, God's not up in heaven worried. God's not up in heaven wringing His hands. God's not up in heaven upset. He knows how it turns out. He knows He wins. Amen. I read, keep reading till you read the back of this, the end of this. God wins. We win. If we follow Him, if we believe in Him, we win. And He already knows that. He already knows how it turns out. So He said, that's how we're to conduct ourselves. We're to think about the things of heaven, not the things of the earth. And He says, the New King James says, set your mind on the things of heaven, on the things above. He says in verse 3, For you died to this life, and your real life is hidden with Christ in God. Verse 4, and when Christ, who is your life, is revealed to the whole world, you will share in all His glory. Amen. I like the way it says it in the Message Bible. He says in Colossians 3, verse 1 in the Message, so if you're serious about living this new resurrection life, are you? Yes. Is anybody in here serious about living this new resurrection life with Christ? Yes. Act like it. Pursue the things over which Christ presides. Pursue the things over which Christ presides. Don't shuffle along, eyes to the ground, absorbed with the things right in front of you. Look up and be alert to what is going on around Christ. That's where the action is. See things from His perspective. Your old life is dead. Your new life, which is your real life, even though invisible to spectators, is with Christ in God. He is your life. Hallelujah. That's resurrection present. That should change our present. That should change our daily life, our everyday life. Let's talk about the future. The bodily resurrection. Jesus was physically, it's so important that we understand this, Jesus was physically raised from the dead. And not just raised from the dead, but resurrected. There is a difference. Jesus raised Lazarus and some others from the dead, didn't He? But then Lazarus died again. Otherwise, He would be a guest speaker in churches all over the country telling his testimony today. The 2,000-year-old man is here. No, He died again. He was raised from the dead, but He died again. He wasn't resurrected. Jesus got something on a higher order. He was resurrected. He got a glorified body. He had a body that could walk through walls. The Bible says on the day of His resurrection, the disciples had the doors shut for fear of the Jews. And He says, and Jesus stood in their midst, the doors being shut. The doors were locked and shut, and boom, there's Jesus. He walked through the wall. And the Bible says that they were, you know, they were afraid. They thought He was a ghost. And they said, and here's what Jesus said, verse 39. This is when He appears to them on resurrection day. Verse 39 of Luke chapter 24. He says, look at My hands. Look at My feet. You can see that it's really me. Touch me. Make sure that I'm not a ghost, because ghosts don't have bodies, as you see that I do. As he spoke, he showed them his hands and his feet. Still, they stood there in disbelief, filled with joy and wonder. Then he asked them, "Do you have anything here to eat?" Think about it. Jesus wanted something to eat. I don't know if he needed something to eat or if he just did it to demonstrate, hey, I've got a body. I'm about to eat something. I'm going to eat. Show you. I'm going to eat something here. Do you have anything here to eat? They gave him a piece of broiled fish, and he ate it as they watched in his resurrected body. Physical body.
Amen.
Amen. Thomas, remember, Thomas wasn't with them that time. Well, let's not get so hard on him, because the others were doubting too until they saw him, and until Thomas said, "No," he said, I won't believe it." And so he wasn't with them the first time. And so when Jesus appears to them again, Thomas is with them, and Jesus tells him, he says, "Hey, reach here and put your hand in my side," or it's this side, I guess. "Put your hand in here where you saw that spear pierce me. Look, see, there's a scar here. There's an opening here. Put your hand in there. Feel around. Here, look at the print of the nails in my hand. Put your finger through there and feel." Hallelujah. And Thomas said, "My Lord and my God," when he did that. Amen. Reed, you can come on back up if you would. Just like Jesus experienced a physical resurrection and got a glorified body, so everyone that believes on him will have the same. You too will experience a physical resurrection, and you too will get a glorified body. Hallelujah. See, the resurrection is our future great hope. And in 1 Corinthians 15:19, Paul writes and he says, "If in this life only we have hope in Christ," and it's pretty good. I mean, we talked about the benefits and the blessings of the present reality of the resurrection. But if it all ends in 70 or 80 years or 100 years, and it's all over then, I mean, it's not worth much, is it? In comparison to eternity, the scope of our life here, well, James said it this way. He said, "What is your life? It's like a vapor that appears for a little time, then vanishes away." In the scope of eternity, 70, 80, 100 years is nothing. It's not even a blip on the radar screen in the scope of eternity. So if in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are of all men the most pitiable. And then he goes on and he says, "But now Christ is risen." See, if in this life only, then our loved ones that have passed away, all we've got left is photographs and keepsakes and memories. That's all we've got. If in this life only. But I plan on seeing my loved ones again. I like what Brother Keith Moore said. I heard him say it one time, and now I use it to encourage folks that have lost a loved one has passed away. I'm encouraged to tell them, if that person was a believer, hey, they're not just in your past, they're in your future.
Amen.
They're in your future.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Amen. I plan on being with them in heaven for eternity. I plan on being in heaven with all of you. We'll sit back, we'll sit in our rocking chairs on our porch of our mansion and say, remember that Easter Sunday on 2019? Yeah. Remember everybody that was there, and now here we are? And we've got eternity to spend together. That was good down there. We had a nice service that day, but wow. that doesn't compare. What we had that day down there, that doesn't compare to what we're having now.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Amen?
Amen?
The future resurrection is our hope and our guarantee that we'll do just that.
Amen.
Hallelujah. So he says in verse 20, "But now Christ is risen from the dead, and has become the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep. For since by man came death, by man also came the resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam all die," because Adam and Eve sinned at the beginning, and brought that sin nature came into them, And they pass that down generation after generation after generation to all of us. To all of us. Since by man came death, by man came the resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam all die, even so in Christ all shall be made alive. But each one in his own order. Christ, the first fruits. Sorry, he's already gotten his. Afterward, those who are Christ, those who belong to him, at his coming. We're going to get ours when he comes back. We're going to have our resurrection. We're going to get our glorified body when he comes back. He goes on in verse 51 of chapter 15. He says, but let me reveal to you a wonderful secret. We will not all die, but we will all be transformed. See, there's going to be a time where Jesus comes back and some of us are going to still be living. And we'll get our glorified body that way. We won't have to die. Our loved ones that have died, they're going to get their glorified body at that moment. And we'll get ours at the same time. So, you know, when I was thinking about it yesterday, when I was 20 years old, I was 99% sure that I would go in the rapture. That rapture would take place before I passed away. Now, 37 years later, I'm 62% sure. Do the math on that. The percentages are changing a little bit. I'm 62% sure now that I'll go in the rapture. In 30 more years, I'll be 87. I'll be 32% sure that I'll go in the rapture. I don't know if that works or not, or if that's true or not. But anyway, we will not all die, but we will all be transformed. Yes. How's it going to happen? Verse 52, what will happen in a moment, in the blink of an eye, when the last trumpet is blown. For when the trumpet sounds, those who have died will be raised to live forever.
Amen.
And we who are living will also be transformed. For our dying bodies must be transformed into bodies that will never die. That's what Jesus has now. That's what he walked out of the tomb with. And that's what you're going to get. Our mortal bodies must be transformed into immortal bodies. Then, when our dying bodies have been transformed into bodies that never die, this scripture will be fulfilled. Death is swallowed up in victory. Oh, and this is, and you have to say this, as Kim Clout would say, with your hand on your hip and with bobbing your head a little bit with an attitude. Oh, death, where is your sting? Oh, death, where is your victory? Oh, death, where is your sting? It's like a taunt.
Amen.
It's like after you dunk on somebody. And you stare them down. We get to stare death down. Where's your victory? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Verse 57 out of the message. But now, in a single... Let's move. We got that one? There we go. But now, in a single victorious stroke of life, all three, sin, guilt, death, are gone. The gift of our Master, Jesus Christ. Thank God. That's what the resurrection means. That's what the resurrection gives us. In a single, victorious stroke of life, the resurrection. Sin is gone. It's dealt with. It's paid for. Guilt. The guilt of sin for our past sin, that's washed away. We can live free. Free from the guilt of sin. You shouldn't be weighed down with the guilt of sin one more moment in your life. God does not want you to live that way. Jesus paid for it. When you confess it, when you repent of it, it's gone. Sin is gone. Guilt is gone. And death is gone. Hallelujah. Because of the resurrection, the gift of our Master. Verse 58. With all this going for us, my dear friends, stand your ground.
Amen.
Hallelujah. And don't hold back. Throw yourselves into the work of the Master, confident that nothing you do for Him is a waste of time or effort. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Why don't you stand up and praise Him? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Don't hold back. Don't hold back. Don't hold back. Throw yourself into the work of the Master. Hallelujah. Confident. Nothing you do for Him is a waste of time or effort. It's for eternity. It's for eternity. Hallelujah. Because the resurrection is our future. It's our future. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. That trumpet's going to sound one day. Hallelujah. Go ahead. Hallelujah.
God's not dead. He's living on the inside, roaring like a lion.
Hallelujah.
I am the resurrection. He that believes in me,
yes,
though he be dead, he shall live forever.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord.